Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from this morning's gospel. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, for most people, when we are exposed to a person who is new or a situation that is new, we tend to be hesitant. We usually don't just make up our mind to doubt somebody or something immediately, or trust it for that matter, but we're just hesitant. We're going to give it a shot. We're going to see what we learn. We're going to see if it is trustworthy or not, if it's going to work or not. This last chapel, I talked to the kids about a time in my life where I learned something that I didn't know, and it was we did this trust exercise at Camp Omega, and they probably still do it. You know, you stand on like a six-foot log, or big stump, and all your campers are on like two lines with their hands intertwined, and then you're supposed to cross your arms, close your eyes, and fall back straight, okay? And I volunteered, but I learned right off the bat, stop volunteering for things, okay? So I was first, and the counselor said, okay, so I'm going to count one, two, three, and then go. Now, if you heard those directions, when would you fall? On three, right? Because he said, one, two, three, then go. Well, I thought three. Everybody else thought I was supposed to fall on go. So I fell on three. They dropped me, and I hit my head on a boulder, okay? Still got a big knot on my head today. Now, for the rest of the time I went to Camp Omega, like three or four more years, I was the only camper who wouldn't do that. And they'd say, why aren't you doing that? I'd say, because I don't trust you. Because you dropped me 3 years ago. I had an experience I wasn't sure of. After that experience, I was sure that I wouldn't trust any of these counselors or campers with my head. I just wouldn't trust them. Now, in our text for today, well, actually before this, Jesus told the women, go tell the disciples, I'll meet them, I'm going to go ahead of them to Galilee, and then they're just supposed to go there and meet me there. Tell them to go. And so the disciples hear the command of Jesus through these women, and they do. They go, they're in Galilee, they see Jesus. And then it says they worshipped him. That makes sense. But some doubted. There's another way of translating that, saying that all of them worshipped and all of them doubted. Now, first of all, there was nothing in the disciples' experience that would lead them to doubt Jesus. All the things they'd seen, all the things they'd heard, no way that leads them to doubt. They'd seen Jesus heal many, many people. They saw Jesus have command of wind and wave and demons. They saw Jesus raise people from the dead, and they saw him raise himself from the dead. So why would they doubt? They're disciples of Jesus Christ. And 15 seconds after Jesus is done saying these words, now they're apostles to Jesus Christ, those who have been set out. But even though they're disciples and apostles, they're still people. And people still doubt. And these disciples still doubted. They doubted because not what Jesus had done in the past, not what he had said in the past. They didn't doubt that at all. They doubted themselves and their place in what Jesus was calling them to do. Now there they had a good reason to doubt. 3 years they were with Jesus, they did not have a very good track record. And on the last week with Jesus, they had a horrible track record. And keeping in mind, and I'm sure if we realize this, they realize this, that they did a rotten job being disciples while Jesus was physically with them. How are things going to turn out when he's not with them anymore, at least visibly? What are they going to do then? When I tried to think of a way to understand their feeling, the only thing I could come up with is it's the same feeling I think that new parents have when they have their first kid. With us, our first kid, Nathaniel, okay, born in Brainerd, and it's a big celebration, hooray, you know, family's there and we're all happy and stuff like that, and while Nancy was in the hospital, everything was great. You know why? Because you got doctors there and nurses there, and everybody's there who has experience. But eventually they come up to you and say, you know, you got to take this kid home. And we're like, huh? Okay. Now, still, it worked out. Why? Because our parents were there. They had experience. And so when we had questions, which we had a lot of them, they could answer those questions. But eventually, guess what? They leave too. And then it's just me, Nancy, and him. And things happen. What do we do if he cries all night? What are we supposed to do if he doesn't eat? How do you get a diaper on this kid? I mean, he had no hips. I'd put a diaper on, lift him up, it'd slide right off, you know. What do you use, duct tape, right? Double-sided tape? I didn't know. First time we gave him a bath, we gave him to him in a salad mixing bowl. I mean, that had me off a salad for months after that. But again, you don't know what you're doing. I think that's exactly how the disciples feel, right? Because Jesus isn't there to answer all their questions and guide them every time. What are we supposed to do? They didn't know. But they're still disciples. And disciples do what disciples do, and that is they hear the command of Jesus, go, and so they went to Jesus where he was with their doubt. Now, at that point, Jesus could have said, you know, you guys aren't anywhere near ready to go yet. I can't send you out. You're going to have a four-week intensive workshop here. And once you are ready, once you are prepared, and once certainly you don't doubt me anymore, then you can go out and make disciples of all nations, but not until then. The thing is, would that have worked? No. It didn't work for me at the seminary. I was there 2 years, vicarage year, and then my fourth year. And every one of those years, I could not wait to get my call until it was really close. Then I didn't want to go. Okay? I doubted. I was afraid. Then it's not, I have people telling you what to do and go to class and be here and do this and eat this. And that. No, there's no one telling you what to do. In fact, people come to you for advice. To me? So me, my friends, we all started doubting. We all had doubts about whether we could do this. In fact, we were the only rational people at the seminary at the time were those who did doubt. The ones who didn't doubt, very irrational, and there were a few of those. We called them OTAs, O-T-A, older than average student, okay? Yeah, those are the guys who had this deep reservoir of knowledge because for 6 years prior to coming here, they taught preschool, you know. So they weren't worried. We were worried. Now, I didn't doubt. My friends probably were the same way. I didn't doubt my call. I didn't doubt from whom it came. I didn't doubt what I was called to do. I doubted my ability to do it. But my friends and I, we went out anyway. Some to Minnesota, some to Wisconsin, some to California, all across the country. We went not because we were prepared. We went because Jesus said, go. Jesus' words to his disciples here are not based on their worthiness and their lack of doubt, or their faithfulness for that matter. His words are based on two things: on his authority and on his presence. I think it's beautiful the way Jesus words this, because what he calls them to do is bracketed by how that's going to be done. His call is simple. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Well, how can they possibly do that? What comes right before that? He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And finally, he says, I will be with you always to the end of the age. And so we go, because the Lord tells us to go. And we go with faith and doubt hand in hand into the unknown. And we go into the darkness of people's lives because he says go, even though we have darkness in our own lives. The key difference is we've seen the light. And so we go. We go to people and baptize them in that light and introduce them to a Savior who brings light and life and salvation to all who believe in him. We go into a world that is increasingly hostile to the message that we have because Jesus says, you can have courage, I have conquered this world. We go because his word is still commanding us to, and because his word still has the power to see that his will is done. We go because we are his disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.